Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday from a bar. If we can't broadcast from a golf course like we did last Friday, pretty fun to broadcast from a bar. We are at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll be here from 11 to 2 o'clock. Just got our order in literally as the open to the show was playing, so things are good. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
Yeah. What's happening, man? The intro threw me off a little bit.
I know, me too.
Yeah, threw me off a little bit.
We're snit.
Yeah. But, no, all good over here, Andy Bunker, on this gorgeous, I mean beautiful, Friday in Atlanta, the fall and all that other stuff. It is wonderful. It's going to be a nice, nice day today.
80 degrees today.
Yeah.
Nobody told Atlanta it was fall.
Exactly. But, it's going to be a nice day today. And like Sandy was saying, it's a big sports weekend here just for all the local teams and the team up 316, because I don't want to put them in the local part because they're not from Atlanta. But they got a big game going down to Ole Miss, which is, it's a fun trip. I've been there. I've never lost Ole Miss either. No, never lost Ole Miss.
Awesome.
Price and Oxford. Yeah.
Good. A little good juju. Because it's interesting because obviously you played in a lot of these games. You've played in a lot of these stadiums for sure. And different adjectives are used to describe different places, right?
Yes.
Fun seems to be the one that everyone uses when they describe going to a game at Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about playing, but like.
The plan is there. Going to a game there
fun,
is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
No, like you talk about the Grove and the tailgate and all the stuff that surrounds it and all that kind of stuff. I don't hear a lot about the atmosphere in-game being intimidating.
Oh, it's not.
Which is interesting because it's a great place to go to a game and ton of fans and people love it, and it's a huge game. They're a good team. Georgia coming in and all the backs against the wall and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I haven't heard any – like, when we talk about the Alabama-LSU game, a huge part of the conversation is it's Baton Rouge at night,
right?
It's a tough place to go in, tough place to win.
Right.
So I guess you're confirming what I thought that I was hearing.
No, but I think any place –
it's not an intimidating atmosphere.
Any place that you play and you give the home team an opportunity to get the crowd involved. Now, they got great fans. Don't get me wrong. They got great fans and all that.
I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. But, it's just not something that you hear people talk about.
No. But they're so damn good.
Yeah, they are so damn good.
And they got a quarterback who I think is the best quarterback in the conference. I think Jackson Dart is just – he is unbelievable.
It's interesting.
He's unflappable. This dude – I was listening to a lot of stuff about him, just him against the blitz, him against – this dude is legit. Mm-hmm. And then he has this mad scientist being his play caller, and you talk about all the weapons they have, and then we talk about the defense they have. This might be the best team Georgia's played. Just top to bottom, everything, athlete for athlete, this could be the best team Georgia's played.
It could be. I still think Texas is quite good, and I think Alabama's okay. They're just such a different version of Alabama than they've been, and we'll talk about them and their matchup with LSU coming up tomorrow night as well. But I was thinking about this morning, reading about some of the stuff related to the game, and just how differently seasons have gone for some teams than they anticipated. Certainly seasons have gone for individuals than we anticipated. Right. Like Carson Beck is probably the primary example of that. He's certainly no longer the number one guy on people's draft board. In fact, when we talk about the game and keys to it, the number one key is Carson just has to play clean.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy to not – you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, coming into the season was like, Carson's got to do this. Now it's like, well, just don't throw interceptions and you can probably beat people. If the season ended today, Jackson Dart probably first-team All-SEC.
Yes.
Who are the guys after him?
Oh, man.
Because – that wouldn't have been that shocking if you would have told me at the beginning of the year, given what he had done in his past and what that offense was going to be and how good they were supposed to be. But, like, you would have thought Carson Beck would be in consideration.
Yeah.
He's not.
Would it came from Vanderbilt?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think two of the guys, I don't know if they're really – I don't know if Sellers is really in that conversation, but he's played great, yep. and he's won some big games. But I think Diego Pavia, yeah, maybe third team. I don't know, maybe second maybe. At this point, depending on how the season goes. But, yeah, nobody would have predicted that.
No.
Nobody would have talked about that. I think Nussmeier's having a good year, but he throws a lot of interceptions.
I didn't realize this guy's rising up on draft boards the way he is.
They love his arm.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Arm. Yeah, he is definitely climbing.
Milroe, you would have thought certainly after that Georgia game.
But right.
He kind of has taken a step back since then, and they've lost some games since then. So it's a great example of how – the games actually have to be played so you know what teams are. But we spend so much time predicting what's going to happen that you maybe decide that that's true.
Right.
Then you get in the middle of it and it's like, dang, all right. Everything's kind of out the window from the preseason predictions, from an individual play standpoint at the quarterback position in the SEC for sure.
No doubt about it, man. And maybe I'm not best, maybe most talented. I'll just say that. Because, I mean, Ole Miss is loaded, man. They really are. And it's always one of those, you know, as you talk about the coaching matchup, obviously Kirby's superior in those things, and Lane's looking for his first win. He has a team to do that. He has a team to beat Georgia to get his first significant win.
I think that's a really important comment in relation to the narrative surrounding him and big games.
Right.
I think it's similar to James Franklin in that, yes, the record is what it is. They have not won a lot of those games at all. But when you look at the actual matchups, how many games should they have won?
Right.
Not that many.
Right.
Like, how many times has
you, Lane, you said that a lot.
How many times has Lane Kiffin really had the better team in some of these matchups? And I'm not saying he has the better team tomorrow, but at least it's even.
Right.
How many times has it even been even? Not really. I think he's 3-15 in his head coaching career against top five teams. How many of those games did he have a top five team?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's hard to beat top five teams.
Well, you don't have top five talent.
Most coaches have a losing record against top five. Now, Kirby doesn't. Kirby's 9-6 against teams that are in the top five. Now, Ole Miss is not in the top five, so that's not relevant to this, but that's because Kirby has teams that are also in the top five.
Right.
He's not taking a 500 team and beating a team that has national championship aspirations. So I think some of the context in that conversation gets lost a little bit, but I also think that it's there this time because Ole Miss has a lot of talent.
Yes.
Lane Kiffin actually has the dudes to win these games.
Especially.
And yet they've lost two games this year already.
Yes. And it was like, I remember we came in and we talked about that the Kentucky-Ole Miss game. Kentucky played the game just the way they needed to be.
Perfect game for them.
They mucked it up. Vanderess used his legs and everything like that. They were able to just muck it up like that and could never, and Ole Miss could never get on, you know, on rhythm or anything offensively, anything like that. I don't know how they lost the LSU game.
No offense to LSU, but they blew it. Ole Miss blew it. They should have won that game four different times, and they kept shooting themselves.
They just didn't realize that, man. But when you look at the overall roster, overall talent, like you said yesterday, they're one of the best run defenses in the country. Not just in the conference, in the country. Now, is that because teams are having to throw the ball? I don't know. And then they lead the nation in sacks. So they get after the quarterback. I mean, they got those things that, you know, that Lane didn't have when they went up to Athens last year and got the blank kicked out of them.
Yeah.
You know, and so with that, and then the way Jackson Dart is playing, and the way Carson is playing.
Yeah.
You know, and I got right here. I said, do I trust 15? I don't know. Because that's just, and that's, you don't want to be in that way. Because I remember him, oh man, was it 2 weeks ago or whatever? And Mike Bell, he had a great point. He's like, what is Carson Beck's signature win? Like, I'm like, well, they did beat Ole Miss and Tennessee.
Sure.
They did, you know.
And Texas on the road this year. But then you dig into it.
I thought about this morning about that Texas.
In those games?
Exactly. I thought about that this morning, the whole Texas thing. I was like, well, they kind of won in spite of him. I mean, he did when Texas got some momentum going. He got the dig route to Arian Smith, the flea flicker to Oscar, and you put it away and everything. But can he come out and – because the one thing you don't want, and I don't know from – I don't know him that well at all. I've met Carson a couple times. But from what me seeing him from last year to this year is he's pressing to try and live up to the expectations of what people had.
Sure.
That could be a dangerous thing.
Oh, absolutely.
That could be, and it's been dangerous.
It has been.
Yeah, it's been dangerous.
I don't know exactly how to explain the issues that he's had. That's a reasonable explanation for it. That makes sense. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's that. It's hard to psychoanalyze people, like you said, without actually knowing them. But that makes sense. It's hard then to go back the other way.
Yes.
And be like, man, I'm pressing, I'm doing all this stuff, it's not working. Can I sort of rein it back in? Like you said, factory reset, kind of go back to neutral. I think he's got the right coach to get him there.
Right.
I think Kirby is the right guy to activate that from week to week. Because, again, last week against Florida, he did the same thing. Like, he's putting his team in bad positions by making mistakes that don't need to be made.
And they're bad interceptions,
that's
too, Andy.
That's what bothers me the most about it, is, like, not every interception is created equal,
correct,
right? Like, it's not like it's fourth and 11, and he's just getting it up so he doesn't get sacked in a turnover on downs. It's first and 10,
yep,
in a clean pocket.
Yep.
Like, and he's trying to force it into double coverage for no reason.
And they're bad
in the first quarter. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
there's no desperation involved in it. It's just a bad decision in a situation where you don't need to be making bad decisions. So, all that said, I've seen enough Georgia football this year and the other teams in the country to say, like, if he plays a clean football game, Georgia can beat any team.
Yes.
Like, if he doesn't throw any interceptions tomorrow, Georgia is going to beat Ole Miss. It's as simple as that. Like, I think all the other parts of Georgia are so good, and I can count on now, because I've seen them, that they're going to win that game.
Yeah.
If he does the same thing against Tennessee, they're going to beat Tennessee in a couple weeks in Athens.
Right.
If he does the same thing, they're going to win the – you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's crazy, given where we started, kind of to bring this conversation full circle, where we started the year where the assumption was Georgia's offense is going to be this Carson Beck-driven thing. And now they're the number three team in the country.
Right.
But the bottom line is Carson just has to play a clean football game, and they can beat anybody.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Now, he has to play clean, and we talk about clean, not throwing interceptions, but he's still got to play good. He's still got to throw touchdowns.
Because
they're not.
It doesn't seem like they're going to rein back what they're asking him to do.
No.
Like, they got to throw the football in order to be effective on offense. Now, they do run it pretty decent,
but they don't run
it. They just
enough.
Don't run it at all.
And that's the thing about it is like
they're pretty efficient when they run.
You remember?
They just don't run it.
One of the conversations we had, they were talking about, well, this running back group is more explosive than Georgia had. These brings you back to the old DeAndre Swift type days. Well, let's see that.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I would love to know if that's true. But when a guy gets 11 carries and the guy backing him up gets three, you know, and he goes multiple series without getting the football, then I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, and then you don't know how he is. As far as, talk about Etienne, if he what you got there?
That's a fancy drink.
Yeah, what you got there?
I just ordered a seltzer water, but they brought it in a glass.
There you go.
A Topo Chico.
There you go. I like Topo Chico.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
But if my voice sounds more clear than normal, it's because of the Topo Chico.
The Topo Chico. But, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. If you're going to run it, effective is your best runner. You know, talking about Trevor Etienne.
Yeah. And how's he helpful?
And how does he help you? Do you give him the opportunity? What's the, you know, as far as supposed to rain and everything down there? How's that going to, you know, affect the play calling, what Boba wants to do?
Doesn't it seem like that would be a sign from God that it's time to run the ball a little bit more, you know? You're supposed to run it more and muck it up more when it's weather conditions like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to go air raid in a monsoon. I don't know if it's actually going to be a monsoon, but maybe that's Mother Nature just being like, hey, Bobo.
Yeah, and you know me. I love me some damn
hand it to number
Nate
one.
Frazier. You know, I love that kid.
Hand it to him, too.
I love the way he runs
number
the
three?
Damn.
Hand it to number three.
Yeah, I love when he runs the damn football, man. But, yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see and everything like that. But I do think if Georgia plays, if Carson Beck plays well, Georgia win.
Because I think all the other guys that I'm counting on are going to play.
Yes.
Like 11 and 13 on defense,
yes,
as long as they're there. Jackson Dart's really good. They're going to make his day very uncomfortable.
Yes. And then you get your starters back. I don't Aguero and all those guys, you get them back to start the game from the jump and everything.
Right.
So hopefully that's enough to get it done.
Those guys are going to be tested.
Yes, they are.
If you watch any of that game from last week.
Ole Miss is a big play. They throw it downfield. They're without their best receiver. But, I mean, I think
game time decision.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, no, if you – poor Arkansas DBs, man. Just bombs over Baghdad all day. They're still chasing Ole Miss wide receivers. One kid had 5 touchdowns. It's outrageous. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll come back and get into what's trending here to kick off the show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that's Kirby talking about the Ole Miss quarterback, and it's all true. I mean, yeah. he leads... They lead the nation in passing. He's got 21 touchdowns to three interceptions. Carson Beck throws three interceptions most Saturdays in SEC play. So it feels as though the advantage is certainly on Ole Miss's side when it comes to quarterback play going into this game. And look, it's not just there. Like, Ole Miss has dudes all over the place. Yes. This is going to be a great football game tomorrow afternoon. I still think Georgia's going to win it because I think that they are more talented from top to bottom, and I think they have a better coach who's going to come up with a great game plan. But I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
Yes, yes, yes. Ole Miss is really good, and we talked earlier in the segment about, like, just like how Kirby said, Jackson Dart's playing good as quarterback as anybody. Yep. I know Cam Ward and those guys, rightfully so, get all of the credit and everything like that, as they should. But this dude has been playing lights out. He don't make mistakes. Like Kirby said, he hasn't run a lot this year.
But he can.
But he can run, you know, and they can also, like we talk about, the big plays. I'll never take anything from Lane as far as an offensive play caller. Because he is dynamic as hell, and he has the weapons to do it. They can run the football, too. I mean, their runner has, like, 10 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
So they can run the football, so they have that, you know, the ability to be able to run. But their thing, they want big plays. They want big plays down the field. Yeah,
they're an explosive offense.
Just like we talked about last week, it ain't nothing. They're not trying to compare Florida to this, but these corners, they got to come to play. Malachi Starks, you can't keep letting people get behind you.
Yep.
He's too good of a damn player to be having those kind of mistakes, man. And it's getting frustrating because he's my favorite dog, but he's got to come to play. 13-11. This is their game.
Yeah, it is.
This is, you know, just like we called him out before the Texas game, and he went out there and did what they did. And I'm not saying they did what they did because we called him out.
Maybe.
But they were freaking just dominating.
They won that game for Georgia.
Yes.
Because offensively, again, it was another big game where Carson Beck didn't play well. He threw three interceptions that game. He was putting his team behind the eight ball. Defense was making plays, giving him short fields, the ability to score touchdowns on short fields. ETN was good in the red zone in that game. I think ETN has to have a good game tomorrow as well against Ole Miss. But yeah, man. I mean, this is what it is. This is when the season started. You looked at the schedule. It was like, damn, you got to go here. You got to go there. You got to do this. This, even though Ole Miss has found a way to lose a couple of games that you didn't expect them to,
they're playing for their season.
That makes them more dangerous.
Their backs
against the wall. Like, they got to win this game. It's a playoff game for them.
Yes, exactly. And
every game is.
But it goes back to not to try to pile on Carson, but what Kirby said yesterday in that clip we played after the Florida game, they got to help him too. The receivers, you got to catch the ball.
Definitely.
You got to catch the football when it's coming to you. When he puts it there, you got to make those big plays. If Cass Jones is on the outside of one-on-one with a linebacker and he's got to beat Carson, you can't overthrow him. Like, those are the plays that Georgia has to make. But more than anything, 15's got to he's got to just play well. He's got to play good, man.
Simple as
that. He really does.
Simple as that. He has to be what he was supposed to be when the season started. And if he is, Georgia's going to win the game. A different vibe, certainly a different conversation leading into the Falcons game on Sunday afternoon. Saints fire their coach. I mean, it's a bad situation for them. But here's Raheem Morris saying, it's no trap games.
Walkthrough Wednesday didn't start today because the Saints fired their coach. It was something that we planned and something that we had an agenda to do, something that we wanted to do and how we wanted to prepare to give ourselves the best chance to win this week. And that has to be the way you go about everything, every game.
He's absolutely correct when you talk about the NFL. I remember, Andy, I don't know who we were playing when I was with the Dolphins, but, I mean, we were way better than them. And we walk in the locker room, and there are traps all over the damn locker room. And I remember one of the vets said,
Like rat traps?
No, like
mouse traps?
Yeah. But they were, like, hanging in the ceiling. Oh. I had them in the ceiling and everything. And so one of the old school vets, what this grizzly dude said, no damn trap games in the NFL.
Yeah.
We all get paid to do this.
Now, some teams
are better than others.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're all professionals in this thing, man. And Ra has it right. And, you know, we talked about it all week because we've seen the trend of the new coach energy and the guys who refocus, which is a damn shame that you have to do that. But I hate saying that. But that's usually what happens. And then you're talking about the opponent that you're playing. And I'm talking about the Saints. You got the Falcons coming to your house. You got this whole new energy. Because the thing with it is, it's kind of – because I've been through it twice. It's different, but it's like a breath of fresh air. You know what I mean? When you got a new voice and all those different things, and then you galvanize, and then you go put your best performance out there. Now, a lot of times after that, you don't win any more damn games. But at the same time, this game right here is going to be, you know, I would not expect the same type of ball we've seen from the New Orleans Saints. I would think they would be a little more crisp and all those different things. But here's the deal. Derek Carr's still a quarterback.
Yeah.
Derek Carr's still a quarterback.
All their guys are still hurt.
All the guys are hurt. Yeah. They got rid of their best defensive player.
They can't sack the quarterback.
So, I mean, all those things are still there.
They traded Marshawn Lattimore.
We can talk about energy all you want to. Go right. Punch him in the damn face.
Right, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, when the biggest argument or key to whatever for them is off-the-field stuff.
Yes.
Like, non-tangible, non-football-related stuff, new coach energy. Well, how about Falcons are better than them energy? You know what I mean? Like, just go out there and play better than them because you are better than them. Now, I do think that even with all that said and where the Saints are right now, like, you know, they have guys, even with the situation that they're in right now, that can make you pay. Like,
yes.
Alvin Kamara is a really good player.
Yes.
Yeah, remember, last time the Falcons played this team, they didn't score an offensive touchdown.
Right.
The Falcons kicked 4 field goals, had a pick 6, and the guy fumbled a punt. And they recovered it in the end zone.
Yeah.
That's how you beat them.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. Like, it's gone different since then.
Right.
But it took a lot of good stuff happening for you in order to beat the Saints last time, and that was at home.
Yes.
So, you know, like, don't count the chickens before they hatch. The new coach energy thing is really interesting. I didn't realize this was the specific case, but Raheem's been talking about when he took over for Dan Quinn all week, right? And what they did. They went into Minnesota and beat the hell out of him. You know who the quarterback was in Minnesota
Kirk
when
Cousins.
They did that? Was Kirk Cousins. So he knows.
Yep.
They know. It's not going to be any surprise to anybody what can happen in these situations. The other thing is they win. They win the division.
Right.
I mean, the division's over.
Yes.
They already have a 95% chance of winning the division. But if they win on Sunday, the division's over. And they equal their win total. In each of the Arthur Smith years.
Damn.
7-10, 7-10, 7-10.
Yep.
That'd be 7-3
if
they win on Sunday.
Yeah.
So there's obviously there's a lot at stake. It's 1 of 17.
But
yeah.
Yes, you can pretty much wrap up the South. I know you still got another game with Carolina here in Atlanta, but you can pretty much wrap up the South if you win this football game. And you know, you won't print the T-shirts after you beat Carolina here, but the South will be the Falcons if they go out.
Oh,
and
do they do
game.
T-shirts for that?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they do – is there any champagne or anything?
No.
That's more of a baseball thing.
Yeah, baseball thing. They don't really do champagne, no. But I know there would be a situation where, they would have the South wrapped up if they go out there and put a good performance together on Sunday.
I think take it from baseball.
Well, just
put the plastic all over the locker.
I think it might be an NFL thing. I don't know. I have no clue.
Yeah,
I have no clue.
No fun league strikes again. It was fun last night, though. That was a hell of a Thursday night football
game.
Hell
yeah, it was.
What a great way to start week 10. Let's hear a little bit of it.
Now you've got to go for the end zone because it's third down and you don't want to settle for the field goal. 3rd and 5, Lamar takes the snap, backpedaling, drifting to the left, running left,
right
lob back of the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens! Rashad Bateman on the receiving end!
What a freaking...
What, game, play, throw, whatever?
What a great game.
All
man.
Of it?
Now, Lamar is better than he was last year.
Yep, when he was the MVP.
When he was the MVP. He has more touchdowns now than he had in his MVP year. This dude is ridiculous. That run, that play on the sideline was just ridiculous. How he stayed there. I thought he scored. But, I mean, Joe Burrow, him and them going back. Cincinnati, it was up 21-7.
Yep.
And they came back, and Baltimore came back. Give them credit. I'm not mad about the two-point conversion, whatever.
No, it was the right call.
But I am throwing the ball. To Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
They could not stop Jamar Chase last night. This dude was peeling off from people, running past people.
You mean 264?
Everything that man was doing.
And 3 touchdowns?
This dude was balling.
Thoughts and prayers if you're going up against him in fantasy this week, like I am.
Yeah.
56.
Ooh.
I haven't even had a guy play yet. I'm down 75-0.
Yeah.
Because I also had Chase Brown, running back.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Oh, no.
There's people driving around out there knowing.
Saying the same
about.
Thing, too.
Or,
right?
Or maybe there's people driving around that have him.
Well, I mean,
good
Bo has
you.
Him. Bo says he has
well,
him.
Bo has 14 leagues.
Yeah,
so
he does.
He's also playing against him because we co-manage the team in the Coke League. So he's playing against him and he has him.
Oh,
12.
Man.
It's 12.
12.
Dude, just 12. So my bad.
This dude, I mean, he was unbelievable. And they had to play set up. Now, obviously, when you got a 3-by-1 stick combination, you try to go front side first, which Joe Burrow did. But there was a one-on-one matchup with Chase on the backside. I'm going to him. I'm sorry. I'm going to give him. I'm a ride or die
sorry,
with this guy.
They can't guard him.
And they can't guard him. But I mean, Baltimore cannot. It's hard for me to believe that they can win the Super Bowl with that defense.
Yeah.
They are awful. Yeah. They are awful pass defense, and it just keeps getting exposed more and more.
Yeah.
They're going to be in a situation where it's going to have to be relying on turnovers and steal a possession.
You can't beat the Chiefs with that pass defense. If they somehow do, you can't beat the Lions or whoever might be there with that pass defense. I mean, they are so good, but they've managed to get a little bit soft in their secondary defensively, which is crazy to say about Baltimore because traditionally their defense is one of their calling cards.
Yeah, man.
Some other big things going on this weekend. Atlanta United to advance in the MLS Cup playoffs. They've got Miami for Game 3 in Miami Saturday, 8 o'clock. That game will be on Star 94, but I mean,
lay it all on
the line.
Lay it all on the line.
I didn't expect them to even be here, so to hell with it.
Hell with it, man. I mean,
keep it going.
Ain't no house money or nothing like that. You trying to extend your damn season. All the pressure is on Miami. We know that. All the pressure is on Miami. They got the little guy. We know how special he is and what kind of big game player he is. But you've beaten him down there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, once. But you've beaten him twice.
Yeah, I mean, they can go out there and they got to just lay it on the line. Keep Rob. Let Rob keep this job. Let Rob keep this job. Man, go down there and win this game.
Do it for Rob.
Go ahead and shock the whole MLS world.
Do it for Rob.
And we also talk over in the Flats tomorrow. Miami's coming to town.
Yeah.
Miami's going to let this be a game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Miami's going to be a game.
And it sounds like Haynes King has a chance of playing. Hopefully he does.
So, like you said, we said it when we were off air. It's a damn shame that you were playing so well, then you lose your quarterback.
It is a shame because Tech was having a really good year. And then they've lost all the games without him.
But you got Miami coming to town. And Miami is notorious for letting teams hang around.
Yeah, no.
Notorious.
It's going to be a game in the fourth quarter, and then Cam Ward's going to put on the Superman cape and throw a couple touchdowns like he has pretty much every week this year. All right, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Roddy DeBalsi from UGASports.com is going to join us next. Get Roddy's thoughts on Georgia's big matchup tomorrow afternoon against Ole Miss. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
No business. I'm a big stepper.
All right. Roddy's on fire this year.
Yeah, man.
Like every year. But Roddy's on a heater with his intro music. Roddy DeBalsi joins us on Fridays at 11:40 from UGASports.com to get ready for the Georgia Bulldogs' upcoming game. Big one tomorrow afternoon against Ole Miss. Roddy, how are you?
What up, Rod?
Doing fine. I like the Indian rapper there. That guy is pretty awesome, so... We had to pick him for today's music because he's got a point. The Dogs need to be standing on business, as the kids say, when they head to Ole Miss this weekend. They got to be doing it 10 toes in, so that means you're really doing it, not just half doing it. So
exactly. That's how you know you're standing on business.
I would educate you older guys as to how the young kids speak these days.
We appreciate that.
I do appreciate that. Yeah,
we appreciate that.
We talked about that phrase a couple months ago, like when people really started saying it, and we're like, "Could you think we can?" And they're like, "Nah, not really. I'm not going to incorporate that." But it sounds good in the song. Is it as simple as, because we've been talking about this all week, and obviously there's a lot of keys, a lot of factors in this game, but is it as simple as Carson Beck has to play clean and Georgia wins?
Yeah. I mean, it's protect the ball, play good defense, don't have a lot of stupid penalties, and you win this ball game, you know, in Oxford. Turn the ball over a lot, give Jackson Dart extra snaps, I mean, you know, extra drives, and you will lose this game. It's not rocket science. Ole Miss hasn't played a murderer's row of opponents. They've outplayed a bunch of tough teams. Very similar to the way the Texas game went down. Texas hadn't played anybody before they played Georgia, and Georgia beat them. Even though they did turn the ball over a lot, but they had a good running game. If Georgia can run the ball on this defense, which is a lot easier said than done, then they can keep Dart on the sideline and a lot less chance handing the ball off, you know, turning it over that way than throwing it through the air. But if Georgia can run it, not have penalties, do well on special teams, and they win. Georgia should win this game, but you guys know me. I'm nervous as anything because that's not what we've seen from Georgia lately. They've turned the ball over a lot. They've won despite, you know, turnovers after turnovers after turnovers. So I'm going to be nervous as a, you know, a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs until they stop turning the ball over. And hopefully this is the week they get it together.
Hey, but, Rod, when we talk about quarterback play, because I've been on this all week, I just don't know if I trust him, man. And I don't know – and I don't know why, because he's doing damn interception, right? And they're bad interceptions. But what do you see from – and obviously you can say they don't have – he don't have this guy or this guy from last year's team. We get that, but they're not coming back. Is it him pressing, trying to live up to an expectation? What do you see? Because right now, to me, I hate saying broken because there's still a lot of ball left. But what do you, in your opinions, from your views and everything, like you and Coach Donnan, what do you see as his regression spot right now?
I will speak for Coach, but Coach has said that, you know, he's off. And you can see that in some of his accuracy. He's a little bit behind guys, in front of them. You know, he's not quite as on target as he was last year. Part of that was the fact that those guys made him look better because they had such wide catch radiuses that they, you know, Brock can catch anything anywhere near him, same with Ladd McConkey. But he's just not as sharp as he was. There's no question about it. The thing that I'm noticing is that, okay, of his 11 interceptions of the last five games, eight of them have come on first or second down. Five right. of them have come on first down. Two of them have come on first and 10. So that is pressing.
Yeah.
Because you've got to eat the ball. You've got to take the sack. You've got to throw it out of bounds, stop trying to force it in there. And I get why he's doing it. He, again, he doesn't have those targets around him that he had last year. So, and he doesn't have a great running game. So he feels like he needs to do it. Kirby Smart's been defending his quarterback, and a lot of people get mad. You know, why won't Kirby yell at him? And I'm like, have you ever been to a practice? Kirby yells at him, you know, 9 times out of 10. He just doesn't put him on blast publicly on Saturday afternoons after a game. And Kirby makes the point, yes, you know, he threw three interceptions. He didn't have his best game, but we also don't win that game without Carson back. You don't beat Florida without Carson going 12 of 14 for two touchdowns and 309 yards in his last, you know, 14 attempts. So the guy is – he wins you games. He can also lose you games. But when you don't have anything working for you offensively in the run game, you have to throw it. And they're throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game. That's not what they want to do. That's not Georgia football. But that's what right. they need when they can't run it like they want to. So you're going to have a few interceptions, but – Carson kind of feels like, hey, I've got to win this game for us. And so he's forcing balls on first and second down that he normally would just throw away because he doesn't feel that he's got a running game to rely on. So he's trying to be a hero, and it's hurting his team a little bit. But at the same time, it still works because he throws for, you know, a couple touchdowns and 300 yards.
Right. He has a great game and a bad game all on the same Saturday.
Yes.
It just depends on what part of
exactly.
it you're watching. What has it been with the run game? Because I know, you know, you got a couple offensive linemen back that had been out, the center's back, Tate Ratledge. Like, we thought maybe that would help lead to the run game being a bit more effective, and it really hasn't. So what is it with the run game from your perspective?
You know, we have a great story at UGA Sports, shameless plug time, that kind of breaks down why Carson Beck's throwing interceptions and, you know, the route timing and stuff like that. It's a great piece. People should go check that out. I could not sanction my guys doing the same story about the run game because I have no idea why they can't run it. When I look at Jared Wilson, Micah Morris, Ernest Green, Tate Ratledge, Xavier Truss, Dylan Fairchild, you know, Daniel Calhoun, Jamal Merriweather, this team should be able to run over anybody. And there are so many guys who could play in the NFL on that offensive line. The fact that they're not just blowing teams off the ball, they're not getting pushed. They're not strong at the point of attack. I can't fathom it. And it's not that they don't have great running backs because, you lost Brandon Robinson, and Branson Robinson's not exactly healthy. So you lost two great backs, but you replaced them with one of the best backs in the league in Trevor Etienne. And Nate Frazier is a superstar in the making.
Yes.
I predict that kid, he will be in a Heisman talk, even though we know they don't give the Heisman to running backs anymore. But he'll still be in the talk, you know, in year three because he's that good. You've got fast, you've got power, you've got quickness, you've got twitchiness in the running back spot, and you're still having to do jet sweeps to your wide receivers because you can't run. So it is a complete mystery as to why they can't just browbeat people. And they're going up against an Ole Miss defense that is really, really good. The defensive line, they brought in some fantastic transfers of Walter Nolan and Prince and those guys. I don't see them all of a sudden picking this week to say, hey, we're just going to play smash mouth football. Maybe they can, and we will all be surprised, but we have not seen that this year.
What about the D, Rod? Because, you know, they are, you know, last time me and Andy, we before the Texas game, we talked about 11 and 13 showing up. Now, they didn't have a big impact last week in the Florida game, but, I mean, that was those two dudes and that defense all around was the reason that they did win that Texas game.
Correct.
In your opinion, is Ole Miss better than Texas?
They are better
and explosive plays, but they are not better on the offensive line. Georgia's defensive line should eat in this game. These guys should be well fed. That center at Ole Miss is not ready for what's coming. This defensive front is going to go after Jackson Darts. Expect Warren Brenson to have a big game. Nazir Stackhouse to have a big game. When I say big game, I mean take up two blockers for the majority of the play. And that allows, you know, Mikael Williams to eat. That allows Jalen Walker to do his thing. When you're having to double those guys and you free up those A gaps for C.J. Allen to come shooting through there or Raylan Wilson, they're gonna come after Jackson Dart to get him off his spot, to make him run, to make him get him uncomfortable. You can't let him sit back there and pick you apart because he is elite at doing that. In the last six quarters that Ole Miss has played, they've looked like a different football team. They are really good. So Georgia has to pressure him. They have to do something to get him uncomfortable. And I think that Georgia's defensive front is going to be the difference in this game.
Rodney DeBalsi joining us here from UGASports.com. Midday show with Andy and Randy getting ready for Georgia and Ole Miss tomorrow afternoon. One of the outside factors, sort of, but obviously it'll play a factor in the game as he is the head coach of Ole Miss, is the narrative surrounding Lane Kiffin and his record in big games. What is it from your perspective about Lane Kiffin and his team in big games against teams like Georgia and others?
He hasn't had the horses. He's had some great players, but he hasn't had them top to bottom. So we put him on the same level as a lot of these other coaches, big-name coaches, because he's so good at winning with less talent. Right. And if you gave him a Georgia team or an Ohio State, you know, or a Clemson a couple years ago or Michigan last year, he'd win these big games. But you can't quite do it with one great running back, one great quarterback, you know, two great wide receivers, and one good defensive end. You know, you got five NFL guys, and then you got a bunch of guys who will never sniff the NFL. And he'll win with that. So that's why we give him credit. But then when you face an Alabama or a Georgia or an LSU, I mean, he beat LSU, but that wasn't a 2019 LSU. That was a good LSU team. That's why we're like, oh, well, he can't win the big one. And this part of it is he doesn't get a lot of credit because he does stupid, asinine stuff with the jokes that he plays and playing the fool on Twitter and the injury report with 75 different guys on it. I mean, it's like it's hard to take him seriously for the old school pundits, you know, when he's being Joey Freshwater. So it's just
Joey Freshwater.
He's a bit immature.
I don't know if it's immature. It's just he's kind of snarky publicly, and he gets a kick out of it, and therefore the people who take sports way too seriously get mad at him, and they look for any way to criticize him, and they can point to his big game performances and say, look, you just can't win.
Tell us the peanut.
I know that a lot of people – go ahead.
I was going to say, tell us the peanut story, because we got Dr. Brandon Adams. He told us about it because, I mean, rarely, unless he's like a walk-on or something like that, do you see that people get as excited as they did for peanut. What is the deal with that?
So you played the game. You know, there's always one guy who just does everything right, you know, that everybody likes. And, you know, there's cliques on teams, right? There's, you know, these guys hang out and those guys hang out and this position group hangs out after practice. Everybody loves peanut. Everybody likes him. Everybody wants him to succeed. And they also know that he came in with two other really good backs and Chauncey Bowens, who had a great spring. And everybody saw him in the spring game. Then Nate Frazier comes in and basically takes over his first game in the summer, and he's the one lighting up against Clemson. So everybody's kind of looking over peanut. It's like, what about him? He gets in, and his first carry is a 4-yard touchdown run. I mean, it was like a movie script, you know. It's not quite Rudy because he's a scholarship athlete, you know. He's a track guy. He's going to be great, but it's just it was 7-8 games in before he got his first chance to run it. And he runs it, he puts it in for a touchdown, and again, it's a guy on the team that is universally liked. There's no jealousy, no beefs, no irritation of this guy being, you know, ranked higher than me or having better NIL. He's just universally liked, and that's kind of why everybody went sideways when he scored.
How is Georgia looking from an injury perspective?
I'm scared to say it because they look good. So I probably just jinxed them. Everybody's going to get hurt in walkthroughs today. But they're looking pretty good. Remember, we were talking about this 3 or 4 weeks ago. We said, you know, they're missing like three of their preseason all-SEC guys. You know, Tate Ravage out, Smile Munden out, guys like that. But getting Tate back, getting Mikael Williams, you know, go back to the Texas game. You know, the week before he played 9 snaps and he played 38 against Texas.
Yeah.
Having him back healthy just frees up Jaylen Walker to be a monster. So right now they look really good. I'm curious about Micah Morris going on and off the list there because, again, he needs to be able to run the ball. He's a people who are normally just hadn't really quite seen him do it this year. So Tate, remember, he was pressed in the service last week. They didn't want to play him, but he's a week later, Tate's got to be feeling a lot better. So you should have you should be pretty healthy so long as nobody gets hurt in the walkthrough today.
Knock on wood.
Oh, hell.
Hey, Roddy, thank you.
Appreciate it, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
All right.
Roddy DeBalsi there, UGASports.com, getting us ready for Georgia Ole Miss. Always love catching up with Roddy on Fridays at 11:40. Always got the good intel.
Right.
Healthy.
They're healthy.
That's good.
I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah,
because he's right. Like they didn't want to play Tate last week, and then they had to, and then you're like, okay. Then the other kid go. The other kid went back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went back in.
Yeah, that's what they do. That.
Yeah. No, I mean that Tate had to come back out.
Right.
So I don't know. I wonder if that's going to be the sign where, you know, you put your All-American starting right guard back in the game, let him play the whole game.
Yeah. Hopefully he feels good because obviously they're going to need him. I love the conversation about Ole Miss offensive line, especially on the interior. That's how you blow up an explosive offense.
Yep.
You make that quarterback uncomfortable from the inside.
And that's what they did with Quinn.
Exactly right.
Yeah, they just weren't ready for it. We were looking at
Dwight Phillips, peanut, right?
Yes.
Who's the peanut of 92.9 The Game?
Dillon.
He is, right?
Yep.
Totally.
Yep.
Everybody loves
Everybody
him.
Everybody loves Dillon.
Everybody's rooting for him.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And not because like he needs, just because he's nice. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Totally. That's
definitely.
Exactly what I was thinking. I was like, oh, I know who that guy is. 92.9 The Game.
Yes, it's definitely Dillon.
It's Dillon.
Yeah.
Gets up at damn 2 o'clock in the morning every day to do a radio show.
Yes, my boy works hard.
What
man.
A madman.
Works hard.
All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no-huddle.
Got like 4 jobs, too. He's like Jamaican. One job! Dylan got like 17 jobs.
NFL no-huddle to kick off the noon hour coming up next. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.